All right, Father, bless your word now, Father, as we look into it together. And use these things to help us to become men and women who are more like Jesus. We love him. Give him all the praise now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. So we have a big, big weekend ahead of us, as I think you all know. We have Columbus Day, which in Woonsocket is Autumn Fest weekend. And Autumn Fest is the biggest festival in all of Rhode Island. That's an annual festival. So there are going to be lots and lots of people. I looked at the weather report, you know, the 10-day forecast. It's actually looking pretty good. A little bit of showers, spotty here and there, but mostly like in the mid-60s, which is beautiful fall weather. And we're going to have an opportunity to get out there. So I want to talk about this morning because it's so important. I've been saved for a long time. I've been saved for like over 40 years. And I remember when I was first saved, there was such a zeal, not just in me, but among the people that I knew, to get out there and tell everyone about Jesus. I mean, we did soul winning everywhere. We'd go up to Brown University, and we would be out in the restaurants and the places where the gang, you know, the students used to hang out. And we were engaging with people. When my second daughter, Amy, was born, was it Amy or Allie? When Amy was born, my second daughter, Mary was trying to get in touch with me because she was going into labor, and I was on the streets in Onlyville with a team, and we were sharing the gospel. It's like a memory that we have, but it was like in our blood, you know, to share the gospel. This is why when Jesus saved me, he didn't bring me immediately into heaven, but he left me here. Why did he leave me here? To save people? No, to tell people. And by telling the gospel, the Holy Spirit sovereignly opens the hearts of some to be able to hear. They once were blind, but now they can truly see. Now, I don't know if this is true in your experience, but what I've noticed is that fervor to share the gospel has almost disappeared from evangelical churches. Messages that I hear are very believer-focused. This is how you can become a better this or a better that, or here's what God can do for you. When the reason that we gather here together, do you know what the pastor's job is? The biblical definition of the pastor's job? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So we come in to learn and be equipped for the work of the ministry, and we go out to serve. The idea of sharing our faith is so fundamental to what it means to be a Christian, and always has been since the first century. Christians have died for this. Around the world, they have died for simply sharing the faith, for refusing to deny the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he saved their souls. We don't ever want that to be the case with us. We were, with the Lord's help, several years ago, we were able and get the word out 1.0. We were able to give out 5,000 New Testaments on the streets of Woonsocket, stopping them at red lights. We would have people jump in front of the car, you know, and stop. And it got to the point where at the end, we'd offer somebody a Bible, and they just hold up the one we gave them last week, you know. Then we partnered with Saturate USA, and over the last 2 years, we've been able to get to as many households as we could in Woonsocket, this door hanger that had a DVD of the Jesus film with a QR code where they could stream the movie if they wanted to, a track, some other information. We were able to get that to 17,000 plus households. Now, this is not a big church. This is not a big church, but we're going to stand before the Lord, and we want to hear, well done. You did everything you could to reach the people in your community. We are the body of Christ in this community. So we go out, and whatever we do it in the name of the Lord with the gospel on our lips. Why? Because the Lord, it may please the Lord to open the hearts, and some might come to salvation. Well, we're going to be doing that this coming weekend. We've been planning on this. 3.0, so 2.0 was the door hangers with the DVDs, but 3.0 is taking kind of a different approach, and that's where we're looking at times in the civic calendar of the greater Woonsocket area where people are gathering together for one reason or another. Now, Autumn Fest is a perfect example of this. They're getting together to celebrate autumn, right? So we rented a booth. We've got a booth there, and we're going to have materials that we give to people, but we're also going to have missionaries out there engaging people with this little track. This is a wonderful little track. We also included it in our door hanger set, but it's, you know, the steps to salvation. Very simple, and it can be used very effectively to lead someone to salvation, whether it be you standing there and discussing it with people, or them just saying, okay, thanks, and they put it in their pocket, and they go home at night, and they read it. The Lord can use all. Sometimes we're planting seeds. Sometimes we're watering. Sometimes the Lord is opening the heart and there is real fruit that's coming. The Lord gets the glory for all of the fruit. So there will be people out, and if somebody's interested, so, you know, Jeff goes up to somebody and shares with somebody this little how would you like to know God personally thing, and they seem interested. And then Jeff says, you know what, would you like to come over to our booth? We've got some other material that we could give to you and might help you in your spiritual journey, right? And we're going to have a monitor there, a computer monitor, that's playing a version of the Jesus film that I've edited. So it's only going to be the video portion, no audio. So we've taken like the most exciting portions and we're just looping it. And so that will be playing continually, and there'll be a little sign that's going to be next to it, and it basically says, the Jesus film, the most accurate film about the life of Jesus ever made. That's because every word comes from the Gospel of Luke. We used to use this when we were missionaries in Greece back in the 1990s. We would go down to the Paralia, and we would talk to people and invite them to come back to the church, and we would watch the Jesus film in Greek. I still have the VHS in Greek in my office. And so somebody says, well, I'd like to get a free copy. And we're going to say, well, how do you watch movies? Do you stream movies or do you have a DVD player or how do you watch? And if they say, well, yeah, I usually stream, we're going to give them this flyer that we made up this week. This code will get them right to the Jesus film that's available and ready for this. 2,227 languages. I don't mean subtitles. I mean, if you speak that language, you can choose that language and Jesus will speak in that language. It's an audio track. Plus 41 other subtitled languages. So they just scan that and they can watch the Jesus film. On the back, if they have questions about what they watched or if they have any, they want to go deeper and they don't know the next steps, this is a QRC code to our website. They can go to our website or they can call me. I have my personal cell phone number on this. I have the church's phone number on this. They can call. Be happy to sit down with them. Be happy to talk to them about the Lord. We also have these booklets that we bought by Alistair Begg, which is a wonderful presentation of the gospel. Very easy to read. Again, with the technology, they read something, and there are these codes. I think there are three of them in the book. Do you see that code there? You can scan that QR code, and it will show you a scene from the life of Jesus that illustrates that part that you just read. So it's a wonderful resource, and we're also going to be partnering with the Gideon's Association. They'll be sitting at the table with us, and they'll be handing out Bibles. So we've got a wonderful opportunity for the missionaries to go out and just very simple, hey, can I give you this? It just tells you the good news about Jesus, or it can give you some hope, or this is a way that you can find peace in your life. You know, well, what is it about? And we're going to talk about all of this in a moment. This morning, I want to try to just give some help about maybe how to approach somebody. Cold evangelism is difficult. Cold conversations are difficult. Obviously, the easiest way to share your faith is with people that you know, with people you've developed a relationship with, people that you have earned already a hearing for the gospel with. But approaching people cold is a different story, but it can be very, very effective if it's done the right way. In November of 2017, Christie's Auction House put up for sale a very important piece of art. A Saudi prince paid $450.3 million for the work. This is the highest price ever paid for a piece of art. Salvador Mundi means what? Savior of the world, right? Savior of the world. And that's because they believe that this was painted by Leonardo da Vinci. Now, it's very controversial. It probably wasn't painted by Leonardo da Vinci, but there was enough in the patina and all of this for people to think that, well, maybe it was, and took a chance, $250 million. And in the days that followed the sale, Christian writers and commentators were quick to note that anybody can have the Savior of the world for free. And that is the beautiful thing about our gospel. Salvation is truly free. It wasn't free to Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. We'll celebrate that at the Lord's table today. He offered his body. We'll celebrate that at the Lord's table today. But salvation that he gives to us is free, and we don't deserve it. The wages of sin are death, Romans 6:23 tells us, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we said that eternal life has two aspects, the exuberant life that we can experience with God right now in time, N-O-W, and the forever life that God will give us as a result of salvation. So this is free, and it's forever. This is what we're going out to offer people. When somebody puts their faith alone in Christ alone, he or she is instantly and supernaturally transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. One of my favorite verses, Colossians 1:13. All of this, though, begs the question, what is the greatest act of Christian love that one person can do for another? And I think, without question, I think, in fact, 1, 2, and 3 are all the same answer. That's how powerful it is. I think the answer to that question, the most powerful act of Christian love that one person can do for another is to tell them about Jesus. To tell them about Jesus. Like I said, we can fill somebody's belly and they can spend eternity in hell. We can give somebody a place to live and they can spend eternity in hell. And that's not to say we shouldn't do the first. God gives us a great responsibility to care for the poor. But in our doing so, if we remove the gospel, we're just humanitarians and not Christians. We are Christ bearers. We are light bearers. We are phosphorescent ones. We are bearing the light of Christ to the dark world. So Jesus is the Salvador Mundi. He is the Savior of the world, and the world is lost, separated from their Creator and without hope of eternal life, without Christ, and without hope. And God's plan is to set people who are enslaved free and to do it through us. God has designed his plan of bringing people into a place of salvation, into a relationship with himself by using believers to open their mouths about Jesus. God doesn't need any secret agents. God needs agents that are out and about and vocal about the fact that if we die without Christ, we're going to spend eternity in a place that's number one, hot, and number two, forever. Just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus called his disciples and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples." Not just believers, disciples. "Go and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always." That's why we're not afraid. "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." I've taught many times that there's only one verb in that sentence. You would think that there are four, right? You would think that there's go is a verb, and go into all the world, and make, and tell them to, or teach them to observe all of it, and baptize. But there's only one verb and three participles. So what it's saying is, here's what I want you to do, and the participles tell us how we do it. What is the verb? Make disciples. And how do we make disciples? We make them by going, we make them by baptizing, and we make them by teaching. So we go into all the world, and what do? We don't just tell somebody about salvation and hope that the Holy Spirit opens. If the Holy Spirit does open their heart and they come to faith and they believe, then we are with them for the long run as much as possible to disciple them and to become mature Christians so that they too can go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That's the way the church is supposed to work. It's not supposed, worship is not supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be about glorifying him. It's supposed to be about pointing to him. Jeff and I have had this discussion many times. A worship song, a good worship song is, "Lord, I'm so," is not, "Lord, I'm so miserable, but you helped me. Lord, I'm so terrible." I don't even like the word "I'm" in there. Let's talk about Jesus. That's what worship is supposed to do. So we go out and we tell people about Jesus, and what do? Ask the Holy Spirit to open a heart, and then what do? We look for opportunities to disciple, to make disciples. Not just believers, but make disciples. Make disciplined students. Mathetes means a disciplined student, a follower of Jesus. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 is interesting because it tells us that the things that we've received, we are to entrust to others, right? This includes a commitment, making disciples, that whenever possible, we're available to bring a person to a place of spiritual maturity. So, all of that is about the cross. Everything about the Christian life is about the cross. Salvation is about the cross. It's about coming to a place where we realize Jesus died for us on the cross. And then discipleship, growing, is about dying to self and living to Jesus, or picking up the cross that the Lord has given me, crossing out, if you will, my own agenda for my life and picking up Christ's agenda for my life. It means doing uncomfortable things. It means doing things that stretch me. It means putting myself in places that I never thought in a million years I would be. But maturity and my love for Jesus has brought me to this place. I'm different. I'm changed. I've come to know the Lord. And like John Calvin always said, to know the Lord is to be changed by the Lord. So I'm in process, and I'm a different person than I was 3 years ago. And I never, and maybe some of you will be out there with us next weekend handing out these little yellow things saying, what am I doing? I never thought I would be out. What are you doing? You're loving people the way Jesus loved people. You're telling people the most important message you could probably tell them. So discipleship is about picking up the cross. I'm going to go right to Luke 14, Steve. Luke 14 puts it this way. Whoever, Jesus, our Lord said this, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, follow after me, cannot be my disciple. Whoever doesn't pick up, in the first century, when somebody picked up a cross and started following down the road, that person wasn't coming back alive, and that's the point. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, I'm still alive. But it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Co-crucifixion is what discipleship is. So it's always and only about the cross. The truth is, the Bible knows nothing of a crossless salvation nor a crossless discipleship. That's the problem with easy believism. That's the problem with making the gospel so simple that people don't realize what they're actually doing. You're coming to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I'm putting my faith in you. You are now the Lord. I am the servant. And that's going to mean something. So we're to go out sharing the message of the cross, and all the while we trust God to open the hearts of those who are unsaved. Our job is to tell them. God's job is to save them. Brother, one of the deacons in our church here made a point of this morning in our meeting. He said, you know, I get discouraged sometimes when I share the gospel with lots of people and I don't see them come to the Lord. You know something? It's completely understandable, right? You're out there and you're sharing the gospel, and you're not seeing any results. But we have to remember, it's not our job to save anyone. It's our job to tell them. And if you've been faithful to tell them, then you've done what the Lord requires of you. One person wrote this: as a young Christian new to the faith, I stood with a few other friends on a busy street corner in Georgetown and handed out gospel tracts every Friday night, mostly to intoxicated university students. It was a great opportunity to meet and talk to people, but no one ever came to faith. We prayed for people, we shared the gospel, but we didn't convert anyone. Nobody prayed the sinner's prayer with us. Was it a waste of time? And the Bible's answer to that is absolutely not. Because they may have been planting a seed that somebody else would water and that the Lord would bear fruit at some later time. But even if he didn't, those people were being obedient to the Lord. That's the biggest thing. We are here to please the Lord with our life of obedience. And so God doesn't tell us to go out there and win souls. God tells us to go out there and tell people the gospel. What, that you're lost? God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus into the world to die for you. And if you put faith alone in what he's done for you, you can spend eternity with him in heaven and have an exuberant life right now. Doesn't mean all your problems are going away. Somebody comes and says, oh, well, tell me this. You know what? I don't have any money. Is God going to help me with that? I don't know if God's going to give you money, but I do know this. He can give you peace about not having money or having money. God can give you peace in the middle of the storm. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes God calms his child in the storm. But God is faithful. You invite him into the boat, things are going to be different. The world doesn't understand this. Because unfortunately, like much of the church today, the world is always looking for how does this affect me? How is it about me? Mature Christians understand that it's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. So it's a great question. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, here's what he said to his disciples, go into all the world. Yeah, but I wonder if I should go into that place. Yeah, all the world. You should go into that place. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. St. Francis thought that included birds. So he would go into a field of birds and he would say, your heavenly Father loves you so much. I mean, you can fly, you eat, he feeds you, he doesn't forget about you. And the people from the village were looking on saying, he took God seriously, right? You know, more churches around the world are named after St. Francis. The only person that has more churches named after her is Mary, right? These are mostly Catholic churches. But nonetheless, St. Francis was a guy who took God seriously. He says, listen, renounce all that you have, give it to the poor. He renounced all he had, gave it to the poor. He would feed everybody in his community, and if anything was left, he would eat. He could not stand to walk by somebody that had a worse coat than he had. He would take off his coat and switch it for the... Now, you say, well, that's crazy and that's extreme. I get it. He was living at a very early age, an early medieval period. But he took God seriously, and I want to take God seriously too. So these people were not a failure. Here's what the Bible promises in Isaiah 55:11. You know this. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish all that I purpose, and I shall and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Now, here's the truth of the matter, folks. When we share the gospel, there are two things that can happen. In one case, it can be an affirmation of somebody coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other cases, it can be an affirmation of the fact of their own damnation. And this is what the Apostle Paul talks about. And I say this so that we can appreciate the gravity of what it means to share the faith. When we're talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, it is literally a matter of life and death. Literally a matter of life and death. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. The Apostle Paul warned the Philippians not to be frightened in anything as to their opponents. But then he says this. He says, for this is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that is from God. The other side of the gospel, you know, the gospel evangelia means good news, right? The other side of it is, if you reject the good news, it's all bad news. It's all bad news. This is a matter of life and death. So, we're commanded to share the faith and to try our very best to make Jesus famous everywhere that we go. And the perpetual question is how? What's the best way to do that? We're going to go out and share our faith at Autumn Fest, and what that's called is open-air evangelism, and that's challenging. It has challenges of its own. We're going to be confronting people we don't know, and we're going to be asking them to hear us, right? We have the support system of that tent that we've rented so that if we kind of feel like we need some help to go to the next level, we can say, hey, why don't you come over to that? We've got some stuff we'd like to give you there, you know. So we have a support system, and there will be people there. If you don't know the answers, you don't have to know the answers to everything. You know, don't allow yourself to be tricked by the devil into dinosaur questions. Good grief. What somebody says, yeah, but what about the dinosaurs? What's that got to do with you standing before the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, let's talk about that first. We'll talk about the dinosaurs later. The Bible has answers to that. But don't let the devil side. This is the devil's bargain to try to get you sidetracked into issues that will still keep that person blind and away from the truth. So we'll have the support system of that tent we've rented with the different things that we'll be giving away. But this type of evangelism is challenging. Mary and I and the girls did this in Greece and Bulgaria and Skopje, Macedonia. And in every circumstances, it was different. And each one calls for its own kind of unique approach. In those places, besides the obvious obstacles that we have in evangelism, we also had the language barrier. So we had to use mime, you know, and we had to use translators everywhere that we went. Just the word evangelism can bring to mind both negative and positive images, like somebody yelling, repent, to people through a bullhorn, or the kindly person that first shared the gospel with you. There's no formula, and there's no right way or wrong way to share. I mean, there are some things that are, I think, not good, but there are different approaches to sharing the gospel, and it really comes down to, as long as you're getting the elements of salvation correctly, what's the one that's most comfortable for you? Obviously, the easiest way, as I said, to engage with people is to talk to people that you already know, and to invest in people at work and in school and in your neighborhood and things like this, and then try to earn a hearing for the gospel. The worst thing that we can do as believers, though, the absolute worst thing we can do, I think it's an insult to our salvation. The worst thing that we can do as Christians is remain silent. That's the worst thing that we can do. I mean, to not be sharing our faith with anyone. If you're here and, you know, I play poker, but if you're here and you have been saved for 10 years and you have never told anyone about salvation, fix that. That's the very reason that you're here, is to share your faith, whether it be with the little ones, maybe whether it be with your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or whether it be with people in your community. Everywhere that you go, the gospel should be on your lips. And the enemy is always opposing that. The enemy will always do everything he can to keep you using your own fear, because you're thinking, I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about what will they think of me? What will they think of me? And so I don't share the gospel. He'll do everything he can to highlight those things and bring some fear into me. And he'll do everything he can to keep them who are blinded blind. Now, here's how it works, right? The devil works diligently to blind the minds of the unbelievers and keep them blind. That's what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5a says that the God of this world, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, who is the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. So the devil does everything he can to keep us, to keep people blinded. Now, here I am at Autumn Fest. He can't keep me from heaven. He's already lost me. I belong to Jesus. He's already lost me. But what he can do is he can try to neutralize my witness. He can try to neutralize my faith so that I don't share the gospel with anybody else. And maybe they have an opportunity to have their eyes open and come to Jesus. This is the whole plan. The greatest tactic that Satan has to keep the world in blindness is to keep the Christian silent. Oh, don't let that be what characterizes your life. Acknowledging this, understanding that this is spiritual warfare, here's what I want to say. This is spiritual warfare. Here's what I want to say. You decide to tell somebody about Jesus, you are picking a fight with the devil. You decide to tell somebody about Jesus, you are picking a fight with the devil. The devil is working, Paul tells us, we're not ignorant of his devices. The devil is working overtime to keep that person blind, and now here comes one of the sons of light, one of the daughters of light. And you're going to tell them the way that you got set free so that they can get set free. You're picking a fight with the devil. This is spiritual warfare, so we always begin with prayer. And before we do anything, in all of the meetings that we have, when new people come to the tent and we send people out, we're going to be praying and praying, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? There's a fine quote that was published in an article by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It goes like this: remember that God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And as Christians, we are called to share what Christ has done. Sharing our faith is not a suggestion. It's a command. And God is with us when we obey him. So when we go out, we remember we don't have to fear them. Like Paul said, we don't have to fear them. Why? Because the message that we are bringing could bring them life. If it's rejected, it could be a token of their doom. And either way, the Lord is with us to protect us. And we can put our head on our pillow at night that night, next Saturday night, let's say we go out and we just tell some people about Jesus. And we can put our head on our pillow at night and say, Lord, you know what? I obeyed you today. I shared the life-changing gospel with some people today. Lord, pour some water on it. Make it grow. Use our labor to glorify yourself. So there's a couple things that the article goes on to say. This is, again, from the Billy Graham organization. It says, when sharing our gospel, number one, we should precede our evangelism with a godly life. And what it's saying is that the power of a life that is lived before God, a life that's lived in purity, is the power of God can truly shine through us. And this is especially important if these are people that you work with, because people are watching your life. They're watching how you deal with difficulties. They're watching how you deal with the boss when he's a jerk, right? They're watching all of these different things, and then they're listening to your message. So first and foremost, our life itself is a part of our evangelism. Secondly, it says when we go, they suggest when we go out, we are doing so realizing that we need to earn a right to be heard sincerely by listening to others. And we're going to address this. We're going to talk about how to confront people, you know, one-to-one, and what we're really looking to do there. And it's not, we're not looking for an opportunity to make a presentation. Okay, we'll get to this in a moment. Number three, we go out recognizing that people are looking for a cure, whether they understand it or not. People have needs. People have frustrations. All of these things are symptoms. The real problem is sin. That's what really needs to get fixed. And we're living in a world full of sin. And because of sin, we have disease and we have sickness and we have poverty and we have all of those things that go with it. So when we hear people talk to us, if we begin talking to them, they're going to start to talk to us about their symptoms. I lost my job, or my mother is sick, or my child is having this difficulty. And we get all of that. But we also understand that these things are sick, that these things are not the actual root of the problem. They're the fruit of the problem, and the problem is sin. Everyone has symptoms of the sickness that we know as sin. And so if they're broke, we can't offer them money, but we can offer them the one who can give them peace, even in the midst of their brokenness, even in the midst of their sickness, even in the midst of their despair, even in the midst of their loss. Some of you have gone through terrible trials. I know you have, because I walked through those things with you. And you know that at that time, the faithfulness of the Lord has been there, present. God always shows up. The unbeliever doesn't understand this, so we go and share them. The fourth thing that the Billy Graham team suggests is that when we go out sharing, we need to keep it simple. Don't get into these. You're not giving a theological treatise about post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation and what order the divine decrees should be presented in. That's not what we're going to talk. That's not what people care about. All we need is the simple gospel. Now, I'm wearing this bracelet here. I don't like bracelets, but I'm wearing this bracelet. And I'm going to tell you about this. And do I want to tell you about it now? Yeah, so here's what I want to do. In this point about keeping it simple, this is so important. Everybody has to be comfortable with some way of sharing the gospel. And so I want to suggest a couple of these to you this morning. Some that we have learned over the years. Some that we have been introduced to over again even recently. And whatever works best for you is what's going to be the best one for you. What you're comfortable with. This is the CEF bracelet. Now, Child Evangelism Fellowship has this ministry where they counsel children to salvation. We worked with them for years when we used to do Sunsplash. And now we had them come and do a presentation for us just a couple weeks ago. They did a beautiful job. And they have five beads. Now, you'll notice we only have three beads on ours. And that's because we're talking to people on the fly. And so we wanted to modify the Child Evangelism Fellowship bracelet. You notice this one's got the blue in it as well. Yeah, so they've got six, right? They didn't teach us that. That's for churches that really are, baptism is a big deal. They put the blue in there. But there's basically the gospel. Now, these include lots of different things, including, discipleship, you know, going to church, reading your Bible, praying, things like this. We have tried to enucleate the gospel in just three beads. So this is our, like, modified plan. Bring up our bracelet, Steve. And this is because we're on the fly. So we made up a bunch of these last week. We went up there after church on Sunday, made up a bunch of these with a team that was up there. And Lori has made up these cards as well to remind you of what the three beads mean. So it's basically down to this. If you were going to share the gospel with somebody very quickly, what would you do? Well, you could say, First of all, you want to begin a conversation, if you can, right? We'll get to that in a moment. But once you have an opportunity to tell them about the gospel, you say, well, you see this, not black, because this has racial connotations today, right? But you see this dark bead? That represents our need. We are separated from God. We've sinned, and God is holy, and so we're separated from God. And the dark bead represents the fact that I have a need. I'm separated from God. The red bead represents God's solution to my need, and that is the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for my sins. The Bible says when Jesus came, he went to the cross, lived a perfect life, and while he was on... Now, you see what I'm doing? I'm just using this as a mnemonic device for myself, right, to keep me on track, and I'm also using it as a teaching device for the person that's watching. And this red bead here represents the blood of Jesus, which is the solution to my need. And this clean bead represents, again, trying to veer away from color, right? This clean bead represents the fact that if I put faith alone in God's solution, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for me, I can be clean before God. I can have eternal life with God. So very, very easy. And then if they listen to you and you're able to talk to them about it, then you can reach into your pocket and give him one of these keychains that we made. So these are to give out to people. So you see it's a little keychain and it's got the card there. We'll have a bunch of these for people to give out. And then they can go home and remember what you talked to them about. Or if you're, you know, maybe you'll be able to convince them to come over to the table and get some more materials and go a little bit further. So that's one way to keep it simple, okay? Another way to keep it simple, we also have, as you know, the Jesus film at the tables as well. Another way to keep it simple is what is known as single verse evangelism. Have you heard of this? Or one verse evangelism? That's where you share the gospel by basically memorizing one verse. Now, what do you think would be a good one to memorize? Come on. John 3:16 obviously is a great one, right? So John 3:16, let's put that up there. We're going to put it up there. There we go. God, so the idea is that in this verse is everything you need to talk about those three points that we just got done talking about, with a couple of additional things. So, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, why do you think we would perish? Well, this black bead here, this dark bead here represents the fact that we have a need, that we've sinned, we're separated from God. And unless we fix that, we'll perish. But what else does it say? It says that God loved us so much. What was God's motivation? He loved us. He loved us so much that he what? He sent his only begotten son. And that's that red bead. That's God's solution. He sent his son into the world. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, paid the price for me. And so then what does it say? Whoever what? Whoever believes. Whoever what? Whoever believes. Whoever what? You see anything else in there except believe? No. Whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. So the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is life in Christ Jesus. Do you see how all of the elements are there in that verse? You've only had to memorize one verse. If you like the approach of having... I'm not a big fan of going out there with my Bible. Now, I know I don't want to sound like a heretic, but because you're... we're living in a weird time and people are in a weird place, taking out a Bible when people are walking by might be a hindrance to them actually staying in the conversation with you. Where if you take out an index card where you've written out John 3:16 and you really want them to read it, you can do it without having a 15 by 15 King James Bible that if you hit a person with, you would kill them. So I'm just saying, it's a different approach. You know, the Bible says that we're fishers of men, and fishers understand that if you're going for different fish, you need different bait, you need different tactics, you need different strategies. The gospel stays the same, but we have to be clever, more clever than the enemy of our souls, amen? So we could go and we could take this one verse, another verse people like to use, but I'm going to finish up here because we're getting close to the end. So I'm going to go all the way to page 15, Steve. Another verse that people like to use is Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And I've seen this used effectively. There's a chart, Steve, if you could put it up. People do this by like drawing on a napkin and taking the verse, writing the verse up on the top, the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And they draw the thing here, the them and God, the chasm, and they put wages, sin, death, or gift, God, eternal life, and the big word in the sentence is but, right? This is where we are, but we could become this by walking to God through the cross, that idea. The only problem with that is in open-air evangelism, it doesn't have the word believe in there, and I think that that makes it less effective than John 3:16. The word believe is so huge. Nothing else. Not work. You don't have to quit chewing gum. You don't have to quit. You don't have to become a missionary to the mugwumps. You don't have to do any. You have to believe that the Lord Jesus died for your sins. But if you have the time to sit with somebody and draw something out, then it's great to use Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Now, one other way that we can do it, and everybody got a handout when they came in. On one side of that handout is Steps to Peace with God. This is from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Organization. Basically says the same thing, right? It tells basically 4 points, and it's restating in a different way a method of sharing the gospel with people. The first step is to tell them about God's plan. God wants us to have peace with him. God wants us to have life, right? Secondly, share the problem. We're separated from God. Thirdly, talk about God's remedy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying for our sin. And fourth, our only response. The only thing necessary is that we put faith alone in Christ alone. So you can take that and you can read that. We're already getting short on time here, so I'm going to move on. And the fifth thing that they suggest, the Billy Graham organization, evangelistic organization suggests, is that we make the love of God prominent in our presentation of the gospel. Now, we have to tell them that they're sinners. That's a part of understanding the need, right? But we shouldn't forget to tell them that it's all about God's love. God so loved the world. There's John 3:16 again. God so loved the world, he sent his son so that we would not perish, so that we would have everlasting life, so that if we just believe, we'd be set free, right? So don't forget to make it about love. Now, I want to share a few things. If it sounds like I'm moving quickly here, it's because I am. But before we get ready to celebrate the Lord's table, just a few points I want to make about our going out there and engaging with people. I tried to imagine myself going out there this weekend and how to start cold conversations and what the best thing would be to do. So let me talk about a couple of things. First of all, let's think about 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, the B part, and going to 15. So let me just read this to you. There's so much here. It's one of the most important verses about sharing our faith. Have no fear of them. That's huge. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, this is your motivation now, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense, give an answer, to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So let's break it down a little bit. First of all, he says in verse 14, the B part, that we go without fear. Why do we go without fear? Because God is with us. I am with you always. Right after Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew, he said, listen, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't be afraid of them, right? Secondly, we go honoring Christ in our hearts as holy. Our sole desire in sharing is that Jesus Christ might be glorified. That we want to win for the Lamb, the lost, by telling the gospel, by telling people about what he has done for us. So we go honoring Jesus. Thirdly, we go prepared, always being prepared, Peter writes, to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Where do we prepare? We prepare at church. We prepare when we come together as a body at church. We prepare in our devotional times. We prepare in our prayer times with the Lord. These are all times of getting our hearts ready. We do it in private and in group studies. If you're going to use a single verse, that single verse method, then have that verse memorized cold so that the Lord, God the Holy Spirit, can bring that verse to your memory when you need it. Sharing the gospel can be daunting, but it doesn't have to be. By focusing on a simple, single, powerful verse like John 3:16, we can effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even still, we're not going to have all the answers, and that's why we go in teams. Nobody's going to be going out alone. We're going to go in teams of two. And if you don't have the answer, that's okay. Say, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but why don't we go over to the tent? Because there are some folks there that probably do. And we have that kind of upline thing that we can do. So use the tools. We go out in teams. Skillfully bring them back to the important issue, which is the gospel, and don't get sidetracked by dinosaur questions. And then the last thing that Peter says, and it is so important, he says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. People have different beliefs than we do. We never have to be disrespectful. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is kindness. Do you know that? One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that you have to say to somebody that you can't say in kindness. And so we go out sharing the gospel, but being respectful. I don't know anybody who's ever been insulted into the kingdom. Do you? Anybody know anybody who's been insulted into salvation? You're such an idiot. Come to Jesus. It's okay. Thank you. If it means I'm going to be like you in 10 years, no thanks. So we're going out with these t-shirts that my daughter Amy printed up for us. Laura got the t-shirts and Amy printed up these things. Have you heard? So we're going out with these t-shirts. Have you heard? Right? This is what we came up with as a team. Whenever you get a big team of people together, you know how you make a, you know how you, you know what a camel is? A racehorse designed by a committee. But we worked much harder than that. We did a really great job and we came up with a good slogan. Have you heard? Okay. So let's say somebody comes up. Now, here's what I want to impress on you. And I'm going to keep you just a few minutes late. I'm sorry, but I want to share this with you. Somebody comes up to you and somebody says, look, have I heard what? You know, so what do you, what is this all about? Our goal, and this goes back to the earn a hearing for the gospel idea. Our goal is to begin a conversation, not to give a presentation. You want to try to use open-ended questions to begin a conversation with people. The guy comes up and he says, have I heard what? And you say, have you heard how much God truly loves you and what he did for you because of his love? Have you ever heard about that? Now, you're asking him for a response. You're not launching right off into a presentation. Have you ever heard about that? Yeah, I heard about that. What have you heard? You see what you're doing? You're beginning a conversation. Somebody asks, have you heard what? It's a great opportunity to introduce the love of God in very simple terms. It's important not to respond with a rehearsed script. Be genuine. Talk to this person like he's a human being created in the image of God who's lost. Talk to them. You know, instead of coming in, you know, you've got your beads, but that's just to keep you on track, to make sure you cover all the aspects of the gospel. Open-ended questions and our desire to truly listen to them is an approach that communicates genuine concern. So when we are asking people questions and we're listening to what they say, we're communicating to them that we care about you. I care about you. I care about what you think. I'm not just here to dominate you with my philosophy of life or my theology of life or my religion. So person comes and he says, what is this good news? And you say something like, it's all about Jesus Christ. Have you heard that name? Notice the question. Have you heard that name? Notice I didn't just jump to the dark bead on my bracelet. Notice I'm seeking to start a conversation, not just make a presentation. Person says, have I heard that name? Yeah. Well, what have you heard about him? What have you heard about Jesus? What's your idea of who Jesus is? You see, what I'm doing, I'm trying to learn about the person that I'm speaking to. I'm trying to start a conversation, not make a presentation. So what have you heard about him? And the person says, you know, he was a teacher, started a religion or something. Well, you're right. Jesus certainly was a teacher, but the Bible says he was so much more than that. The Bible tells us that he's our Savior. Do you have any personal belief in God? Notice I'm not jumping. I'm still not jumping to the black bead. I want to know, what do you think? What do you think about God? Notice that I'm resisting the temptation to make a scripted presentation. I'm trying to let him introduce the gospel. Tell me about God. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me what you've heard about him, and then speak to those things. Do you have any personal belief in God? I was raised Catholic, but I don't know. Well, it's really great that you were raised in a church that talked about Jesus. I mean, you can't walk into a Catholic church without seeing a cross and without seeing Jesus on the cross. Do you know why Jesus went to the cross? Do you know why that's in those churches? You see what we're doing here? We're not making a stump speech. We're beginning a conversation. We're earning a hearing for the gospel. Do you know why Jesus died on the cross? Kinda. Well, why do you think? Why do you think he died on the cross? Or maybe he says, not really. Would you mind if I tell you what the Bible says? Would you mind if I tell you why the Bible says Jesus died on the cross? The Bible says we all have a great need. That's represented by this dark bead. You see? And now we can launch into... Now, did you sense that I really was trying to hear what this man had to say? That I'm listening to what... Did you have any sense that I was in any way disrespectful toward him? No, I'm looking for him to say something. Like, I went to a Catholic church. Beautiful. Catholic church believes in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, we've got issues on salvation, but they believe Jesus died for the sins of the whole wide world. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that and say, thank God you were raised in a church where Jesus was on a cross and communicating something about, do you know why he was on that cross? And now you're using that as a conversation where you very respectfully let him know you care about him. You're not just trying to put a notch on your gun. You care about him. More often than not, they may not approach you, and so it's okay for you to approach them. This is, I think, great. You just walk up to people. It's very simple. Hey, you mind if I give you this? Well, what is it? It's about how you can find real and genuine peace in your life. Well, how do you do that? Well, you do it through Jesus. Do you mind if I talk to you for a moment? You know, what do you believe about God? You try to start a conversation. And like I said, you may be shocked. There might be some guy looks like, you know, he's got I hate mom tattooed on his arm. Like, you know, he shaves his head and he's got like more hair on his back than most gorillas, right? And still, that guy's going to stop and he's got the softest heart you can possibly imagine. Don't let appearances fool you. And you share the gospel with them and you tell them how much God loves you and they can be truly, truly shocked. And first and last thing that I want to say, I'm on 25, Steve, I'm sorry. Last thing I want to say is that evangelicalism, evangelia, comes from the Greek word evangelia. It means good news. Present it that way. Present it as good because it is so good. The bad news is what we have without the good news. The bad news is that we're stuck. The bad news is that we're without Christ, without eternal life. These are very positive things that we're sharing. And try to make a connection with people. When we engage in conversation, look for something in their life. If you can make this connection, this is God helping you. If you say to somebody, yeah, well, you know what? Listen, yeah, I know God's helped me in the past because I'm sober for 15 years now. Oh, that's wonderful. I went through sobriety too. I'm an alcoholic too. And God delivered me. If you can make a connection like that, well, I went through a terrible trauma. I lost a child. You know what? I lost a child too. If that's your circumstance, remember something, friends. When we go out and share the gospel, when God sends you out to share the gospel, He is sending you. He wants to use you, your experiences, your personality, your quirks, all of those things, your experiences, you are a part of the message. Don't be afraid to share with people. Be vulnerable. If you have a shared experience with that person, it can be so powerful. You know, somebody who's struggling with alcoholism, you know, and they just made a decision to get sober. They get around somebody who's been sober for 20 years. It's very encouraging, right? Yeah, well, if you can make that kind of connection, do it every way you can. And also remember that when God uses you to share the gospel, He's using you and all of you. So, church, we're getting ready to go out and start conversations. This is the way I'm thinking about it. We're getting ready to go out and start conversations. And as we go, we're going to ask the Lord to be with us and to help us. And I want to share one last verse with you, and then we're done. We're going to get ready for the Lord's table. And I thank you so much for your patience this morning. I know we have a lot going on this morning. But listen to this verse. Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He knew that His disciples had some hard days ahead. They were going to be standing before people that were very hostile. You're not going to be standing before people that are very hostile this weekend, next weekend. People are generally pretty kind. Or if they don't like your message, they'll just move on, right? But Jesus knew that His disciples were going to go through some very, very difficult times. And here's what He said in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 11. He told His disciples, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about. You might be sitting here today and say, I don't know what I'm going to say. What if they ask me, what about the Phanabas and the Ketotni and the Phanaten button of salvation? And you say, I've never studied the Phanabas in my life, much less the Ketotni or the Phanaten button. What am I going to say? And this is why Jesus said to them, listen, you don't have to study for this. Be prepared. But you don't have to study. You know why? Because God is in the house. God is in the house. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you shall defend yourself or what you shall say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that you need. And you're there with your brother or your sister in the faith. And I hope, now we have a really great team. We're going to pray for them at the end of the service today. There's a thing in the back, a sign-up sheet for 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I'll be there all of those 3 days for at least a part of the day. There's going to be team leaders there, and there's going to be people signing up to come out and to help us on those days. Even if you haven't been a part of the 3.0 team, we would love to have you come. We made up some extra T-shirts because we know you're going to come. We just know how you are. You're just very fickle. You wait till the day of. That's okay. But if you want to come and you say, you know what, Lord, I just want to be a part of something that you're doing and telling the world about Jesus, making Jesus famous, you can go to the back there and you can sign up for some certain times where you can come and you can help us out, and it'll give us an idea of who to expect during that time. Now, let me tell you what else we're going to do here this morning, and we're going to do it in the next 20 minutes. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And then we're going to pray over all of the materials together. They're all underneath this front row seat here. All the materials that we're going to be giving out, and we're going to pray over the team and just commission them. And we're going to go off and prepare to share our faith with everyone, okay? I hope this has been a help. I hope it's been a blessing, and I hope it's been an encouragement to go out and do the greatest act of Christian love that we can possibly do for another person. Tell them about Jesus. Amen?